Today on Piano Jazz, we revisit a program from 1982 when Marion McPartland welcomed Alice Coltrane to the microphone. Alice was married to famous jazz saxophonist, composer John Coltrane, a totally familiar name to all lovers of jazz. She and her husband John traveled different musical paths for a while, as she was a classically trained pianist and harpist who later became involved in playing church organ and gospel music. In the latter days of John Coltrane's career, she joined his jazz group. She was also a composer and begins this program with the piano solo of her composition, Transfiguration.
Fine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
To National Public Radio.
Thank you, Mary.
Great to have you here, and it's just wonderful. I really didn't dare hope that you'd be able to be with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
You know, I haven't heard you play for such a long time, and except on records, of course, and mostly the harp, not piano.
Oh.
That's mostly what you play nowadays, isn't it?
Sometimes I'm playing the harp, and I think organ, though. I like the large console organ. The sound of it is very beautiful.
It is. Well, that's news to me. I didn't know that you... Did you do that all the time, or was that...
Well, as a youngster, I played the organ in churches, you see, all the time. Yes.
At home?
Not at home, because we didn't have an organ in the house, but in the churches.
I mean when you were growing up in Detroit. Is that where you played?
Yes, that's when I began playing the organ.
Well, is that when you started playing music?
Well, yes, because I started at the age of 7.
Yeah.
And I had private teachers giving instruction in just classical music, basically, and mm-hmm. also theory and harmony.
Boy, you were lucky. How many years did you study?
I would think at least 10 years.
You know, I'm really interested in how you got from Detroit to where I first heard you at Birdland when I knew you as Alice McLeod. That was your maiden name,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
What year was that you came to New York?
It had to be in the early 60s, somewhere in that time. There was a relative who played bass, violin, the older brother, mm-hmm. had been playing concerts and so forth with Terry Gibbs.
Well, how did you meet John Coltrane, who, of course, you married later?
Yes, in fact, it was shortly after after I became employed with Terry Gibbs and playing concerts and so forth. It was shortly after that time, because I know there was a point in which both Terry's group and John's group, the father's group, you know, all together.
The father, that's what you call them.
Yes,
that's
father, sweet. The boys, you know, the sons.
Sure, three boys.
And, yes,
and
so I always just think of him as the father.
That's nice. Well, so did you meet both playing there in the club?
Yes, the same time. And so, you know, during the times when intermission, you know, I'd be right there, you know, and he would ask questions and we would have long conversations. And just a fine person he was, you know.
You know, he had a great influence on so many musicians. Just hearing him play, I remember, it was towards the end of his life. He was in Indianapolis playing at a club there. I think it was Jimmy Garrison.
Yes.
McCoy Tyner,
yes, and Elvin Jones.
And Elvin Jones. Yes. And we were at another club called the... the Embers. Mm. And we went over there to hear the group. And it was very exciting. Actually, he only played about two tunes in the set, real long.
Yeah.
And I was very affected by it because the next night when I came to work, something happened in my playing.
Oh.
I don't know. It was like some of the things I'd heard must have rubbed off on me.
Oh, that's
And we all talked about it. It was very a very inspiring thing, which, of course, you know about.
Yes, he had that somehow, charisma, somehow. This,
yes, he sure did.
You know, this sort of overwhelming sort of that presence about him.
Mm-hmm.
And he never really had to talk or to instruct music. He really didn't have to do that. Just being around him, listening to him, you know, express his ideas musically. It really is very inspirational, and it was to many people.
Let's do another of your pieces.
All right.
What's this one called?
I like to play Prema, which means divine love. Prema is a Sanskrit word, and it, as I told you, translates as divine love.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay. While you're playing that, all these scenes are going in front of my eyes, you know, it's groups of people, and you sort of have a feeling of a church and then trees. And I guess I've got a very wild imagination.
I think I have a very beautiful, you know, sense of understanding and a beautiful sense of appreciation. Because
well, a piece like that has so many moods to it, and it's just lovely.
Thank
in you. Fact, it's with great fear and trembling that I'm suggesting that we try a duet.
That would be great.
Maybe we can do one of John's tunes. Now, it's funny because I always thought of this. Marshall Brown recorded this with Pee Wee Russell, of all people. Did you ever hear that record?
I don't believe so.
And on the record, he called it Red Planet. But you said it's called Miles Mode.
Yes, so I believe so.
I guess you're the one that
we'll definitely provide you with the correct title.
We'll get the correct title, won't
yes,
we?
Yes, for certain.
All right. Now, how should we do this? Like a minor blues? Because, let's see, here's how it goes, I think.
All right.
Next number coming up, Alice, is one that you wrote for John. When did you write this song, One for the Father?
I believe 1977, and I recorded it in 1978.
You've written so many things and made so many albums. You've been pretty prolific on your own in the past few years, haven't you? Like Impulse, there's a lot of records out on Impulse, and what's the label now that you record?
All right, I'm not contracted. And since the Warner Brothers contract finalized, that was in 1978, and I made the last double record album for them, a total of five albums, and I've not been contracted.
Well, that's great, though, that you have all these things out. And I guess you're still writing and you're still composing.
Yes, definitely. So.
Well, I'm dying to hear this solo, One for the Father. Will you play it for me?
Yes, I will.
Okay. To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Save America's Treasures, a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Parks Service, Department of the Interior, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.